welcome to a Math Oral Podcast. I am Chris Hanusa, a professor of mathematics at Queens College of the City University of New York. Today, we're talking chess with Candace Sands and Gayatri Sakachand. So, hello, and let us know a little bit about you.
Should I go first? Okay. So I'm Candace. Currently, I'm a grad student at Queens College, going for an applied math master's. And it's my first year here, and I'm really excited with what I've done so far and looking forward to continuing my education here.
And I'm Gayatri Sakachand. Likewise, I'm a grad student here at Queens College, also going for a master's in applied math, and I'm currently a teacher at Massabeth High School.
Okay, cool. All right, so this semester you worked on a research project. Please describe it for us.
So basically, our project had to do with chess. We wanted to count how many ways we can place chess pieces, well, two distinct chess pieces on a board such that they're not attacking each other. And we did this with the queen, the king, the knight, rook, and the bishop.
And we also came up with a new piece called the Knight Rider, which has the same movement as a knight, except for arbitrarily lengths of the same slope, as a knight would, yeah.
Okay, so a knight moves up one over two,
right.
Or over
down two over one.
All those four,
right.
the eight different directions,
yes.
And now a knight rider, you're saying, moves like four over two up,
yes,
or
exactly.
Six over three up.
Correct.
Okay, so tell us more.
Well, in order to calculate how to place two distinct pieces on an 8x8 board, we kind of dubbed our method as the shell method, where we started with the outermost shell of our 8x8 board and kind of saw where you place the piece, what other squares would then be no longer available for the second chess piece. So we always started with the four corners and then worked our way closer towards the middle of our outer rim. And then moved on to our second shell, and then all the way down to our core, which is the innermost four boxes.
Okay, so you're saying, so when you say a shell, you're talking about the rim,
yes,
so like
yes.
the outermost rim of
yes.
a chessboard, and then you would move inward from there.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And we first started with the king, and we started by complete enumeration. So literally looking at all 64 squares on the chessboard, and trying to decide how many ways you can place another king so that they're not attacking each other. And then we started to see a lot of patterns, such as by rotation, the four corners would give us the same thing. The same with the core, which was the inner two by two, that would give us the same answers. And because of this, it became easier for us to count the other pieces, like the queen, the knight, the rook. And basically, we used this method to count all the rest.
Okay, so you say that you looked at the symmetries of the board and you said
yes.
because each of the corners basically looks the same,
yes.
then you only have to do maybe a quarter of the work that
right.
you did before.
Correct.
Okay, so did you use any other particular methods or did you want to specify something about some of the other pieces?
Well, actually, we started off with the king thinking that would be the easiest piece because it can only attack a square that's directly either adjacent or directly diagonal, so it had to be touching a piece of the square that the original king was placed in. But what was actually interesting is that the rook actually ended up being the most easy to count because of the fact that it only was one case. No matter where you place the rook, it because of the rook's movement where it can move vertically and horizontally in the row and column that it was originally placed, it actually attacks seven of the squares vertically and seven of the squares horizontally, plus the square that it's originally placed in, a totaling 15 squares where you cannot place the second rook. And no matter where you place it on your 8x8 board, it was the same case regardless. So.
Yeah, there's actually a whole bunch of combinatorics papers related to rook placements on different shaped boards, and so yeah, the rook one, I mean, you get some permutations or something along the way.
And also, just to add to that, going on the easiest was also probably the bishop, because a white bishop could be only placed on a white square, a black bishop on likewise only on a black square, and that means they would never be attacking each other. So that leaves 32 white squares times 32 black squares, and that was all. There was no counting involved. So even to further that question, we counted the case in which a white bishop could be placed on either white or black, and likewise with the black. So that gave us four different cases.
Okay, cool. Did you want to, I asked you to bring in a number related to your project to share with us today. So what's this number?
So our number is 3,424.
Okay, and how does that number come up?
Well, we counted all five of the chess pieces, being the knight, rook, bishop, king, and queen, and then we also counted our piece that we came up with, the knight rider, and we found the knight rider the most interesting, and 3,424 are the number of ways to place two knight riders such that they're not attacking each other on an 8x8 chessboard.
Okay, and did you want to talk any more about how you came up with that number, or...?
Sure. We used the same sort of shell method that we worked on with the king, the queen, and the other chess pieces, starting again with the four corners and then moving to the square that was directly adjacent to the four corners, and so on and so forth. And by counting the different cases, which ended up being eight cases, we came up with this number. And what was actually very interesting about this piece that we didn't find really with the other pieces was that because of the symmetries of the board and the ability to rotate and flip along an axis, you can come up with a formula that tells you how many attacking positions there are when you place a knight in, let's say, row 1, column 2. And that's what we kind of thought was very interesting, because just like coming up with that, you're able to, instead of doing all the cases out and where we had made it look very colorful, we can kind of just quickly and more efficiently come up with the answer to the question.
Okay, so one thing that the two of you worked together on this project, did you find how did that work together?
Working together, the two of us?
Yeah.
We
realized our strengths.
We quickly found our strengths and weaknesses when putting the poster together.
Okay.
The first thing we decided to do was, you know, of course, compare answers to see if they were correct. They were all correct, so we were very happy about that.
Right, the math was not the issue.
That did not take us
which was
a while. It's the putting together of the poster that took a while.
Yes.
We quickly realized that I could not color within the boxes. So I probably did one of the coloring things, and that was it. Candace did the rest, and it looks really nice.
It does,
and
yeah.
She did most of the written work.
Yes.
So while she was writing, I was coloring, and we were comparing color coordinating, so it's easy for somebody who doesn't really know what chess is or doesn't know what exactly the question's asking can kind of easily see what's going on as we're doing.
So we definitely did decide what colors we were going to use, how we were going to color, where we were going to place the squares, and definitely everything we were going to write out together.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically did the entire project together. It's just
right.
that she just physically colored and I physically wrote.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure that there's a link to your picture. We took a picture and we'll make sure there's a link to it so that everybody else can see it too. Do you have something that you came up as the most difficult part of the project?
Yeah, I'd probably say the formula part of it, which, thinking about it now, it shouldn't have been difficult at all.
Well,
now
that's often the case, right?
Right. Now that we
it's
know
always
it,
to have the solution.
Like, I don't understand. Now I don't understand why it was so hard for us to see that it's simply a flip or like a rotation. We were literally like lifting up the paper, looking at it from the back, and like, what's happening here? Until we realized it was just rotations.
Well, this is kind of a theme in math,
yeah,
where
right.
at the beginning you're banging your head against the table because you have no idea what's happening, and then as you go on, you get to the end and you understand it, and then, oh yeah, it's crystal clear. Yeah. But it's that coming up and coming up with what the initial spark that is just so surprising, invigorating, frustrating, all of that.
Especially when we're thinking together and we both tend to think out loud. So she'll start a sentence and I'm like, yes, and I'll finish it. And at the end, it makes no sense. Or vice versa, so.
Or it's like, I said that already. It's like, well, I didn't believe you, but now I do. Now we're on the same page, so yeah.
I think I heard you say that one time.
Yeah.
All right, so if you had more time, what would you want to do next?
Well, instead of considering an 8x8
square,
right? 8x8 square board, we were thinking, how can we place two distinct chess pieces on an 8x8 triangular board? And, you know, given time to have done that, I think it would have been very interesting to see how the results would have changed.
And there was another. Especially because there are not that many symmetries of a triangular board. So I think that would be much more interesting. And another question we did think about was, what if we were placing three distinct pieces on a chessboard? How would our results change? Well, of course, they would be less, but,
right.
You know, how would symmetries of that be similar or different from this?
You think there would be fewer ways to do it?
To place three?
Three? Yeah. Because there would be more attacking.
Intuitively,
positions.
It makes sense that there would be less.
Yeah.
Okay. So... thanks for coming in today and sharing
your
research. So,
yes, thank you for having us.
Hey, no problem. So this has been a MathZorro podcast. Learn more at MathZorro.com. Thanks.
Goodbye.
Bye.